The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
All right, Katie will join us at 9 a.m., 8 a.m., excuse me, an hour early, because she'll be flying today. Whee! Out to, New York?
Yeah. Yes.
A lot to get to here. All right. The A's met with Oakland yesterday. The sides are still, quote, very far apart. That's according to the A's. Oakland saying, hey, we think we made a great offer and we await their response. Well, I think the response was everybody's negotiating in public, which is never good. Everyone's trying to CYA in public. That's never good for these things. Now the A's are set to meet with Sacramento today. Now, with the caveat that it's John Fisher, it's the A's, you never know. No one's putting their name on the line here by guaranteeing anything. But all signs point to a deal will be struck either in principle or completely today. That could be, hey, I think we have a deal. We have the framework of a deal. Maloof fans will remember that one. We just need to dot some I's and cross some T's and we're done. But sounds like that's where it's going. Very much sounds like from all sides. That's what Brody Brazil's hearing, Casey's hearing, I'm hearing. Everyone covering this, I think, is hearing the same things. Could that be a leverage play? Yes, of course. There's a lot of different things at play here, Jason, but that's what it sounds like. And if I was a betting man, I would bet on them striking a deal or the framework of a deal today and an announcement coming sometime later this week, probably next week, that the A's will play the next 3 years in Sacramento. So, but what I'm start, what I want to hone in on some other things, because I've said this from the beginning. I'm not a fan of this, but I'm not going to bemoan anybody who is. Everyone, you included. We've had many conversations about this. I understand the other side, and I get it. I totally get it. I'm not going to be like, you're a bad person. But what I don't want is I don't want people making their decisions based on things that are either not going to happen or very likely not going to happen. One of the things I keep hearing, this is an expansion tryout. Again, my opinion, this is anything but an expansion tryout. First off, there are other cities that, Salt Lake being one, that have a far bigger appetite politically and far more money, but also are geographically more attractive than Sacramento. Also, the Giants have done everything they can to get the A's out of Northern California. This is a giant city. No offense, A's fans. I'm not trying to, punch down here. Just the numbers, Jason, I know you'll back me up on this. The numbers back it up. The Giants rule this area. That ratings-wise, viewer-wise, attendance-wise, season ticket-wise, the Giants consider the 916 pretty much their territory. They don't like the A's infringing on it a little bit here and there. They would never, ever, ever support an expansion in Sacramento, and the Giants are incredibly powerful behind the scenes, as we've seen here. But let's put that aside, because that's going to the reason why that won't happen isn't just because of that. I'll get to that with the second thing I'm hearing, which seems a little bit more, this one makes a little more sense. Well, we don't have any trust in John Fisher being able to close a deal. There doesn't seem to be a lot of love in Vegas. Certainly not the type of love you'd expect from a city about to get its first type of major league team in that sport. There's the possibility of this thing going to voters, which we'll hit on that here in a second. So the idea would be, well, okay, bring him to Sacramento for 3 years. Let's sell this sucker out. Let's really go crazy. And if Vegas falls through, they're already here. They're not going to go back to Oakland. They don't want to go to Salt Lake City. They're right here. Oh, and by the way, John Fisher was at a Kings game. We all saw it like months ago. Vivek said that they're good friends. Maybe this is a chess move for Vivek to try to be able to, he's working the room, and he's going to try to be able to buy this team from John Fisher and keep him in Sacramento. Okay, well, let's explore that here for a second, why that ain't happening either. I'm just going to go to the most simple, tried and true truth when it comes to things like this. And I would ask everybody to participate. for the A's to stay in Sacramento, that means that Vivek and friends would need to purchase the team. Okay? Almost certainly. The purchase price for the A's would be at a minimum $2 billion. You then would need to build a stadium in Sacramento. Where are you building it? Are you going to tear down the Rivercat Stadium because they own that and you're going to rebuild there? Maybe. But you'd need to have a lot bigger footprint. Well,
is that true?
You'd need
to, I heard the footprint's big enough. Now, I heard. I'm not saying that.
With the parking and all that, yeah, it could be. I know there's still some shared land, I think, with Mark Friedman and a couple of other things.
And there's a lot of residential there now.
There is a lot of residential.
Options to build other things like storefronts and all that kind
of stuff. It's important to remember for this conversation, by the way, that West Sacramento is not Sacramento. Mm-hmm. It's not Sacramento County either. That's West Sacramento. I believe that's Yolo County. It's a whole different ballgame there. That doesn't mean that they can't work together on things. They did with the Rivercats. You're also assuming, by the way, remember, that would be a relocation. Now, Major League Baseball, as we talked about at length yesterday, is not charging a relocation fee for John Fisher to move to Las Vegas. I don't think it's a slam dunk that that would happen in Sacramento because that's a different ballgame. You think the Giants are going to vote yes on that? You think the Giants are going to rally behind the scenes? And a relocation fee is about $1 billion. That's what they've said. $2 billion to buy the team. Possibly $1 billion for relo, but let's throw that out. Maybe they can work it out. I don't think they can, but let's say they can. And $1 billion, give or take, to build a stadium. Oh, by the way, there is zero appetite for public subsidies on this. You will not get a public subsidy. First off, West Sac doesn't have the money. They ain't doing it. Secondly, if you come to Sacramento with that, this isn't the Kings. This is where I'm going to get nerdy here, but it's important to understand how everything works behind the scenes. Vivek's not going to pay $2 billion for the A's and then come up with another $1 billion to privately build the stadium. He does not have that money. Secondly, he would have to form an ownership group. Now, I don't know what Vivek's Rolodex is, and I know he knows people. But it's important to remember that in the Kings situation, that ownership group was built by Kevin Johnson. Completely built by Kevin Johnson. I think Vivek might have brought Raj Bethal, but I'm not sure. But Kevin put it together. A former point guard who had the commissioner of the league working hand in hand with him. That's not this situation. There's no appetite for public subsidy at all. Not with everything going on in Sacramento, homeless and all this stuff and this crazy stuff going on. And you can't use what happened with Golden One Center. Now, Golden One Center has been a big success. But what a lot of people don't know is that COVID completely kicked a leg out from their growth. They've had to dip into the general fund, which they will pay back. Things are better now. Parking hasn't been what it is. There's a lot more Uber going downtown than people realized. The math did not work out as well, largely because of COVID. You don't have Kevin Johnson. By the way, you also don't have Daryl Steinberg. He's leaving. That means Mayor Flo, I forget her last name, is the presumptive favorite to win the office of mayor. The other person on the ballot is Kevin McCarty, who was a consistent no vote on every arena proposal there is. So if Kevin McCarty wins, you're going to ship that away. And from what I've asked around and understood, Mayor Flo is not going to have an appetite for this either at all. You're not going to get council and county support for this. Plus, we don't have the money.
This is on the permanent residency.
I'm talking about the permanent residency. People say, well, if the Fisher deal falls through, Vivek will swoop in and buy him, and here we go. Okay, but let's walk that through. You got to come up with possibly $3 billion to buy this team. We don't have the ownership group. We don't have the corporate sponsors. We don't. We don't have a Fortune 500 company here. And don't sit there and count on Raley's and all. They're already tied in a little bit. Raley's has had years. You see Raley's name with the Kings? No. See him with the Rivercats a little bit. Where's the money coming from? For baseball. There's no place for the money to come from. There's no public subsidy. What I think it's important to understand, if you're for it, here's what you're for. You're for the A's team to come here for 3 years and play Major League Baseball at almost certainly a horrific clip of wins with no investment, no salary, playing in a minor league team, and John Fisher continue. There'll be some bells and whistles for opening day, don't get me wrong, but he ain't coming in and investing $120 million on payroll because they're coming to Sacramento. They're losing money coming to Sacramento from what they had with the A's. They're losing. They're going to make less money. The TV deal is going to get cut in half. That's less money. You think John Fisher's coming out of pocket to invest in a team that's not going to be here in 3 years or that he's not going to have a part of in 3 years? No. So you're going to have a team that wins 50 to 60 games a year coming here for 3 years, which I can promise you by year three, if not year two, the luster is going to wear off from having this team with Sacramento on the front that is like literally the worst team in baseball history. And then you're asking, you're assuming that if the Vegas deal falls through, we're just going to magically find this money with no Kevin Johnson, no ownership group, no land site. It's not the rail yards. Nagel has the rail yards along with Larry Kelly and Denton Kelly and those guys. And they're working on the outdoor stadium right now for the Republic, which I know everyone's going to say, when's that going to happen? Just wait on that one a little bit. But that's already, and those guys aren't working together. I'm talking about Vivek, the Vivek's group and the other group. There's no interest in that. The Giants have no interest in this happening. And there was one other point I wanted to make about mixing all of that. The Giants' influence or lack thereof. Baseball waiving the reload fee. Yes, so here's what, if you're excited for the A's to come here because you're going to have the opportunity to see other Major League Baseball teams play here for 3 years and you're going to have a short drive down and it's going to be fun and exciting, that's what you're getting and that's very, very appropriate. If you are tying your sale to the idea of the team relocating permanently to Sacramento or this being a expansion tryout, I believe both the expansion thing ain't happening and being here permanently, as I'm trying to walk you through, there's no money. Find me the money. I know they have no money. Oh, that's the last point I wanted to make. I could understand somebody making a counter and saying, well, hold on a second. Vivek and his crew bought the Kings for $535 million and they're worth around $2.5 to $3 billion right now. They've made a lot of money. Perhaps they reinvest some of that money and they buy the A's with that. They've got the money. No, they do not. This is what's important to understand. I'm not sure where it is right now, but I know as of a year ago, I believe not one single owner had taken profit out of the Kings. In fact, they'd had to put more in. When the Kings need money, they have what's called a cash call with all the owners. Jason, if you're an owner and we're on a cash call, that means we're trying to raise $50 million and your percentage of ownership is what your percentage of that $50 million is. If you don't purchase, if you don't pay that check, if you don't cut that check, then Vivek, and then on the way down, has the opportunity to pay for you, and they soak up that percentage of ownership. In order to realize the profit from the NBA team, you have to sell your share of the NBA team. Now, if you're saying, and this is how I'll close this, well, hold on, Dave, what if Vivek sold the Kings, and he used those proceeds to bring the baseball here? Windfall, hero. Yeah, that's a road. Let me tell you this. I have a better chance of starting at center against New York for the Sacramento Kings than Vivek Ranadive has of selling the Kings to buy the A's for many reasons, but this one in particular. Well, two. One, the NBA is a far better investment right now. Far better with the TV contracts coming up and everything we've talked about, the expansion, all that stuff. There's a lot of money coming in for these owners. Secondly, owning a major league franchise is nowhere near, in the ballpark, pun intended, as glamorous as owning an NBA franchise. You own an NBA franchise, you're sitting courtside, you're sitting next to 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather, you're lighting the beam, you're putting out Instagram videos. I saw Vivek the other day put out a motivational saying that I think he made up. It was like a card that had the saying on it in quotes, and he signed it. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Like, you're a different type of person when you own an NBA team. Major League Baseball team, nobody sees you. You're in a box, maybe. It's not glamorous. Think about all the Major League Baseball owners you know, and think about all the celebrities that go to those. Don't fool yourself. Vivek's a great owner. Vivek's learned a ton. I love him. This is not a rip on Vivek. Part of the reason Vivek loves this is because, like most NBA owners, it gives you access to the cool club. You're sitting next to these celebrities. You're able to leverage. Hey, why don't you? I'm going to fly you out. Why don't you come sit here, Kelsey Grammer, and let's watch a game, and we're going to take a bunch of pictures together. It's awesome. We'll go to parties. I'm going to go to Davos and speak at the thing, and blah, blah, blah. God bless him for it. That's not baseball. So if you're wanting to have the A's come here because you want to see Aaron Judge for 3 years, that's what you're getting. If you want the A's to come here because you think this is some played expansion, which is what you're going to hear. This is an expansion play, but really, you never know what can happen. They're going to plant those seeds. Watch for them. I would invite anyone listening, because I know this is going to get back. This is going to get back to the folks that are working on this. And I would say this as we break. Call me and let's have this conversation privately. And you walk me through the points I made and you walk me through where the money's coming from. You've known me long enough to know I will not say a word. You know me long enough to know I will hold the secrets. But I will, if you walk me through and it's legit, I will come on the air and I will say I was wrong and I apologize. I will say publicly the thing I said the other day, I apologize. I was ill-informed. I talked to somebody. I can't say what we talked about, but you know what? This could happen. Call me. We talk. Call me. You have my number. Call me. Walk me through it. Show me where the money's coming from or where it could come from. Show me the path and I will apologize. I'm not going to get that phone call because I think everyone knows this is a three-year play. Great income for Sacramento. They need it. Pitch me that. We need that money. We need that income. Please don't pitch fans, hopeful fans, who are leading with their hearts on this being an expansion play or this being a play at a permanent team, because I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form is on the realistic tree. That's all I got.
The one thing I want to say on all that is I don't believe the luster will be lost no matter how bad they are here in the 3 years. I don't.
You could be right.
I think they'll probably strategically even ask for multi-year season tickets. Mm-hmm.
So, oh, I think they absolutely
and based
will.
On the size of the stadium, and I know yeah. people go, oh, they have 1,000 fans a game. They'll have more than that here. I think they'll do well here. I do.
You're not worried about – I agree with you. I think best seats are going to go to those who commit for 3 years, mm-hmm. and I think you're going to get probably 10,000 three-year season tickets or more. I agree with yeah. you on that. You don't think by the third year, if they are sucking like that, we're going to have an A situation where, well, you know, reported attendance is 12.5, but it looks like there's 3,000 there.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know for sure. I don't think so, but it's also then if we have a window where they say, you know, we would know by then for sure if they're leaving in a few months.
Yep.
I think there'll be some people go, I never went to an A's game in Sacramento. So this is my last season. I'm going.
This is it. That's, yeah. That part, I don't know. That part
even
is.
Even if they're 50 and 110
complete
or
guesswork
whatever.
On my part. You could be 100% right. All right. Blew through that. We are so late. We'll take a very quick 1 minute break. When we come back, we got to fly through three for madness next.
Three questions, three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
All right, Katie will join us in about 40 minutes. We're going to look at these women's tournament ratings. They're insane. And should Caitlin Clark go to the WNBA? Also, the Kings beat the Clippers. We've got a standings update for you next. In the meantime, Christopher Lloyd, three for madness, question one.
How did the Kings handle the Clippers so well last night?
It's a great question, Chris. Clippers were slightly favored. Well, first off, by the way, when we read that morning that the Clippers were favored by 2.5, let's remember that was before Kawhi Leonard was out. So step number one, I'll make up for this. I'm not trying to poop on the parade in any way, shape, or form. All jokes aside, no Kawhi Leonard probably helped the situation. I don't think I'm making a stretch there. But they still had Paul George. They still had James Harden. They still had Ivica Zubac. They still had plenty of guys. And in the beginning, first part of the game, definitely looked like the Clippers were here for the W. But something happened. You know, and they came out, the Kings, from the second half. And at first I was like, God, why do they always come out flat? That lasted like 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and then they just turned it on, and they didn't look back, and they got that momentum, and I think they started believing in themselves, and they locked down on defense. We have some defensive numbers, Jason, to get to here in a little bit, but this it's not as easy to point out as points and rebounds and assists. Lou, I got to take that call later. Hmm. It's not as easy to point out, but bottom line is the defense, I think, more than anything, helped them.
Yeah, the other part, too, that, look, we what was the game the Kings had? Oh, it was the first game against Dallas when the Kings ultimately got worked in that game. And we said, look, it's probably unfair to label it this way entirely, but remember we were talking about 5 games in 7 days for the Kings? And said, hey, let's see the second time they played. Let's see if that was any part of a factor of the amount of games the Kings have played. It was the only time they played 5 and 7. My point I'm bringing up on that is this was the end of a long road trip for the Clippers. They had been back east. And so they had played 3 straight games back east. To me, they looked a little bit off. And Kawhi didn't play. But the Kings were part of that.
Right.
I also thought the Kings took their spirit. The play I remember was, I believe, the end of the third. The Kings made a couple of really nice plays. They scored, I think, like a dagger three to end the quarter, but there was 2.2 left, and the inbound to Paul George. David, he caught it, and Paul George just ate it. He's like, yeah, quarter's over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, the chance of scoring is small,
but still.
But, like, there's no effort. Pass it to someone else who wants to shoot from half court. I mean, the Kings scored at the end of the first. It was like this huge momentum play by Trey Lyles. Well, it's just like, oh, yeah, we're down 18, and are you done?
Are you done? Are you worried about the field goal percentage there, Paul?
I mean, it was just like, again, likely you're not scoring. But to me, it was like, you're not trying at this point. The Kings took their spirit away, which was awesome.
Cut number two, or question two, please.
Question two.
Chris, let me ask it, because we've edited it, and I don't want to put you in a bad spot. Who was your Velvet King player of the game? Who was your Velvet King player of the game? This is a tough one because there's three candidates. You know, I'm going to give it to Davion. Okay. I am. And I will take all arguments for the other two, one of which I'm sure you'll bring up. I love the way it's not just how he scored, it's when he scored, and you add in that defense. That's the Davion Mitchell I want to see.
Yeah, it's really tough because if you're giving it to one, I do feel like you're sliding multiple people here, but I'm going to go Alex Len.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, sorry, Davion. Sorry, Trey.
Trey Lyles.
You guys were great.
Right.
Great. It's kind of like Alex Len got the defense player of the game. It could have been multiple people. I thought Keon, who didn't really even score, was really good. I mean, he helped him in a lot of ways. But I'm going to go with Alex Len. I thought he had a great impact.
Three for Madness. Quickly, number three.
Question three.
Another team held below 100 points last night. Are you getting used to it?
No, I could get used to it. I want to get used to it. No, I'm not getting used to it, but it's certainly getting there. I mean, this team, and we've got some numbers Chris Watkins put out, a couple of our other guys put out, that are really kind of encouraging about defense. It's not a coincidence. It's not the other team just happened to be off. I mean, the Kings really honestly have taken a turn, really since March 1st, I think, right around there on their defense.
If you're going to lose Herter and Monk, and they provide so many great things, and you're going to play Keon and Davion, you have to be better defensively.
Yes, 100%.
And they are. And maybe the argument could be made that they're more complete. I don't know. I love Monkier. I love Kevin. You wish they could be all of this, offense and defensive oriented. But this version of the Kings, what do they have to be without those guys? They have to be good defensively. And I think when they play Fox, Ellis, and Mitchell, they're pretty small, but man, they get after it defensively. What Alex Len's done, what Trey Lyles does with his toughness.
Yep.
Keegan.
Keegan, you're absolutely right.
You love
to see it.
Last year, they were historically great offensively, which that number now is not that great.
And what is it, the rising tide with the ships and all that? Everyone else.
I mean, honestly, if you see Keon playing like that and Keegan and Deere, like, how do the rest of you guys not do that?
Of course they do, because they see everybody else doing that, and they're like, I gotta play my part.
And there's more substance to it when you do this defensively.
I can get used to that. We'll take a break. Well, and by the way, somebody on the text line, 916-339-1140, YouTube, what is that saying? A rising tide, something with ships. I always get it wrong.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
We need a bigger boat. Kings beat the Clippers. They start out the road trip. We'll check out the standings and a few more things coming up next.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than
the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
Well played, Chris. Let's take a look at those standings. It ended up being a good night last night for the Sacramento Kings in multiple ways. First and foremost, they got to win, right? They have to win as many games as possible. If you're thinking about the Warriors, you're thinking about the Lakers, the more wins you can get, the teams behind you can't catch you. I mean, that's the obvious statement there. But by getting the victory last night, what they did do was avoid the Lakers pulling a little bit closer. So if you look at what happened last night as we look at standings watch, the Kings, with the victory, moved into a tie with the Phoenix Suns for the seventh spot. Now, by tiebreaker, the second tiebreaker, the Kings, if the playoffs started today, would be the seventh seed. They would host the Phoenix Suns in a play-in game. Winner would be the seventh seed. Loser would host the winner of the 9-10 game. 9 and 10 are still the Lakers and the Warriors. Both teams won yesterday. And I think what happened yesterday and really over the last couple days, what we're pretty close to eliminating from happening is Houston getting into the top 10. Houston had a great run to get back into the mix. They lost again yesterday. So now they are three back of the Warriors, and most teams have seven games to go. Possible, but doubtful. So I think the 10 are in. It's just what will be the final portion of the standings. You got Denver, Minnesota, and OKC battling for the top spot. Denver is still a half game ahead of the other two. They only have six games remaining. Minnesota and OKC tied for that second spot. Minnesota has the tiebreaker there. The Clippers alone in fourth, not catching the top three, and keeping their eye on the teams behind them. Now, the Warriors winning last night, where that helped the Kings, is they defeated Dallas. And so a couple days ago when the Kings lost to Dallas and lost Malik Monk, they were two back, not in a great position, losing Monk. They already have Herter out. They've won the last two games. That's kind of restored order here and restored some faith. And so the Kings right now begin today, not playing, but one game out of fifth and 1.5 games ahead of ninth. But remember, the 1.5 ahead of ninth is really 2.5 because they have the tiebreaker on the Lakers. So as of now, things are standing much, much better for the Kings at this point than going into the day yesterday. So they got a few things that played into their favor, but there are still some opportunities coming up that are very difficult games, including a four-game road trip that's going to start tomorrow in New York, back-to-back in Boston, then it's Brooklyn, and they finish with OKC before those final three games at home. And in the race, the teams are chasing Dallas and New Orleans, who are tied for fifth. They still play New Orleans. They're tied literally with Phoenix. They still play Phoenix. So you could argue those two games will be critical. They don't have the tiebreaker with New Orleans, and the Phoenix game will be the head-to-head decider. This will be the fifth game. Kind of an added game, right, because they played them in the play-in, and it's one of the teams they play five times. Actually, both. Our teams, they play five times, but New Orleans is already up four games to none. So standings-wise, it was big for Sacramento to get the win, to restore the faith and the belief. I mean, I think that's what's important. I think when they lost to Dallas and lost Malik Monk, after finding out after the game that he was going to be out and reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks, that was really killer news for the Kings. And so to beat Utah, which was like, oh, you've got to beat Utah. Well, you still have to go do it. And remember, that game's tied at 58 in the third quarter. Kings, boom, hit him with a 23-2 run, end all the doubt, and get a needed win. Yesterday, there was some doubt. That was a tough game. And to beat the Clippers, even with Kawhi out, that was still a really, really nice performance. Sets them up on this road trip. It begins in New York. Like I said, the Knicks have lost three in a row. They have not been the same team since they lost OG on Anunoby. They've been without Julius Randle. They'll play smaller. I thought that was a really good game they had here with the Kings. Jalen Brunson was the star of the day, one of the best individual performances by anybody we've seen come in to Golden 1 this year. So I think by getting that victory, it leaves that opportunity of being a top six seed still in play, where I think a lot of people were starting to, you know, get comfortable with, well, they're a play-in team. And a play-in team, again, I want to remind everybody, would feel, I think, to some as, I don't even, failure's too strong, but a disappointment. I think it only becomes a disappointment if you don't get through it. You can still, if you're a playing team and you get through it, it's fine. You're a playoff team. Then you're in. You're in the postseason. I think it's important to get there, to go through that experience again, to keep finding out as much as you can about this roster, to see another playoff with Sabonis, to see another playoff for Keegan Murray, to see another playoff for De'Aaron Fox, the guys that you believe are your true core of this team, to see what it looks like. Do you think you can? You have the elements to be where they want to ultimately get to, a championship-type team? You find out more every time you go through the regular season, through adversity, like they're going through now, you find out more. And I think last night, Fox and Sabonis elevated their play. Keegan was very aggressive, and the bench was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal in the game yesterday, which they needed all of that. So tonight, there'll be some games I know we'll talk about a little bit later in our standings watch that are truly going to be important to check out. But first and foremost, it's the Kings. Try to get as many wins as they possibly can in the final seven games. And like I said, you win all of them, people behind you literally can't catch you. If you win as many as you can, you're going to do some damage on the teams that are in front of you. And I'm still of the mindset where they really need to get in. I want them to get in. I want them to get whatever happens to be the most favorable matchup. My opinion, it would not be Denver, but if it's Denver, it's Denver. If you play Denver, that's the cards you're dealt, and you got to see if you can figure out a way to beat them. I think that would be difficult. I know the Kings beat them 3 out of 4. The only time Denver was 100% healthy, Kings got smoked. The other part, too, is this version of the Kings, because we got to prepare ourselves that they're going to be without Malik Monk. So what is this version of the Kings matchup like against Minnesota or OKC or Denver, the teams they would likely face if they get in? So last night, a good night. They got to try to make it even better and could help their standings if they can win a couple games. Two, ideally. If they could get more than that, that'd be awesome on this upcoming road trip. All right, break time for us. But as we go to break, your opportunity for the Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game, 1-800-920-1140, 1-800-920-1140 or 339-1140. If you know, if you were listening, if you were paying attention last night, maybe you wrote it down, maybe you've just got a great memory, but you can identify the Jiffy Lube Drive of the Game. We will take the first caller to correctly identify that when we come back, and you'll have a chance to win a $100 gift card to the great folks at Jiffy Lube. You could do whatever you'd like with that gift card to help get your car running right this spring, right? So we will do that, and we will talk more about the NCAA tournament. The women's ratings are out, and what you all were watching, apparently. We'll give you those numbers and tell you the impact of that when we come back here on Sacktown Sports.
Sports Fix.
Live and vocal.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
All right, welcome back. Thank you. We'll update on the ASF. Maybe we'll switch that to tomorrow, but have a little bit more background. Chris Guerrero's like, Dave's getting reprimanded. No, but you know what? It's always,
you got a call.
It's always great to, and let me just be clear. No, it wasn't the Kings that called me. But on the A segment, I always, my cover is always people that know things. So I got a call from a couple people that know things. They gave me a little bit of background on what we talked about. And I said, and I'm always this way, hey, look, if I'm wrong, call me and I'll come forward and I'll put that out there. Most of what we talked about is dead on, but I was just told a couple of ways where when it comes to if the A's were to come here and try to stay here, for example, in this world, one of the points I had made is, hey, there's no appetite for public subsidy. There's no real appetite for public subsidy. That's not wrong, but there are some
May not be as much needed.
Yes, there's some creative roads that could, and there are some tools the Kings have in their toolbox that I was reminded of that could definitely make that part of the path easier. So we'll share that tomorrow, and that's always good. Again, we want to just make sure we get you guys the truth from, if not from the horses' mouths, from the mouth of whoever feeds the horses, the hay person.
Hey.
So appreciate those folks that called. Appreciate the conversation. And my job is just to relay that to you guys and make sure you get the most. But there's no reference. There's a couple of really good friends that called. I'm like, hey, did you think about this? I was like, no, I didn't even know about that. Okay, well, that's interesting. So we'll talk about that. We'll have some time, I think, probably tomorrow. But everything else pretty much still stands. And we'll get this thing done. By the way, one way or the other, we'll get it sorted out. Rising tides raise all ships, I think is what the saying is. Thank you for that. Also, Jiffy Lube drive of the game yesterday. It happened. There
were
wasn't.
They paying attention?
Yeah, were they paying attention? Well, the question is, was Raj paying attention?
I think so.
Raj, you're on with Dave and Jason and Chris. Good morning.
Good morning.
Raj, what was the Jiffy Lube drive of the game?
The Fox two-pointer dunk after Alex Glenn's steal in second quarter.
Well, we'll see if you're right. Specific. And also, right or wrong, we will have breaking NBA news, real breaking NBA news, right after that. Chris, get the sounder ready. Let's see what this is, though.
Trying to poke it away. Harden protects, runs into Lynn. Now on the double team. Lynn knocks it away. It's grabbed by De'Aaron Fox. Being chased, but he goes and elevates, and he rips down a two-hand flush. Let's make it your Jiffy Lube drive of the game. The great defense on the part of Alex Lynn triggering that opportunity on the double-team blitz. The seven-footer against Harden knocked it away. Fox tracked it down, went to the iron, elevated, and ripped home the two-hand jam.
There it is, Raj. Congratulations. You got yourself a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube to do whatever you wish with your vehicle. Hey, listen, what radio station makes all your Jiffy Lube $100 gift certificate dreams come true, Raj?
1140.
Good enough for me. Hold the line, and Chris will take care of you. We have breaking news in the NBA, Chris.
Good work, Raj.
It breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports breaking news.
All right, the Charlotte Hornets, and actually a candidate, if you might remember, for the coaching job for the Sacramento Kings, Steve Clifford. Well, he's stepping down as coach at the end of the season and working to finalize a front office role with the franchise. Clifford informed his assistants and players on Wednesday morning. Now, what is that? Generally, I have no connections to that, but we've seen this movie before. That's Steve, we're going to fire you, or Steve says, I'm going to quit, and they say, you got a bunch of time left on your contract. And I call it the, I think a little bit like that was with Alvin Gentry, for example, here in Sacramento, where the Kings and Alvin were going to part ways. Alvin still had time on his deal. Everyone loves Alvin. Yeah. He truly is still around. He's not sitting in his office, you know, playing solitaire on the computer. He is an active presence and a welcome presence with the franchise. And he had time left on his deal. So it's like, hey, why don't we adjust what you're doing and stay with the franchise? Sounds like Clifford is going to do the same thing, something similar. So there you go. And,
second run through there as the coach, but second time, same results. That's a franchise that's really struggled. They have the longest active playoff drought right now.
Yeah, they do. imagine not making the playoffs. Couldn't be us, maybe.
Kings better make sure they do.
I'm going to start another streak, dude.
Yeah.
Don't even verbalize that, Jason.
Okay.
Jeez. Katie's coming up in 10 minutes. The NCAA Women's Tournament, the ratings are in, and they are real, and they are fantastic. That's a Seinfeld reference, I think. 12.3 million viewers for Iowa LSU. We're just going to focus on this game. That doesn't count all the other games that have had great numbers, but this was the marquee. They had more viewers than any women's college basketball game ever. More viewers than the 2023 NBA Finals. More viewers than the 2023 World Series. the Orange Bowl, the Big Ten Championship, the Cotton Bowl, the Pac-12 Championship. This is college football. The Big 12 Championship, all 2023. The Peach Bowl, Thursday night NFL football, and every 2023 college football regular season game except Ohio State and Michigan. Anytime, I don't know why, but for some reason, like, women's basketball can be like a, I don't know, man. Especially for someone who lives on social media a lot, it can just be a cesspool of conversation where anything good comes out. It's like, yeah, well, it's because of the thing. Or, yeah, but the other thing. This is the type of stuff that's like completely undeniable. You straight up beat the NFL Thursday nights. You beat the World Series. And by the way, this isn't the championship. This is just an LSU-Iowa rematch. Elite Eight game. And they're pulling numbers like that.
Yeah, but it had everything that I apparently, and I'm going to say the collective we want. Names, stars. Stars work. Dave, as frustrated as we get here for the Sacramento Kings, here would be a classic example of this. Kings play the Lakers. Kings beat the Lakers. Great game. SportsCenter, they'll show LeBron. They'll show AD. And maybe one Fox highlight. Oh, by the way, the Kings won.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won by 30. And you're going to show six LeBron highlights, an AD highlight, and then, oh, yeah, Fox layup, and, yeah, Kings won. Stars. It's right or wrong, it works. Caitlin Clark's a star. Angel Reese is a star. They played last year. They're back again. And that's the beauty of what the women's game has now. One, they've got multiple teams that can win it all. They've got great teams. Look, the best team is South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their ratings were. They don't have Caitlin Clark.
Right.
They don't have Angel Reese. They don't have that natural storyline. They don't have this other subplot that's going on with Coach Mulkey and these comments and articles that were coming out on her, and the one that was in the LA Times that was sexist and racist towards the team. I mean, just some.
Yep.
But it's drawing interest in more and more people. And then the game was good. And so
the game was great.
Here's my question. So next game, it's Iowa in the semis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be another huge game. But if Caitlin Clark gets eliminated.
Yeah.
And again, they're playing UConn.
Right.
This is a national power that's been great with Gino Auriemma. Mm-hmm. And Paige Beckers is really good.
Very good.
But I think you've lost your biggest star. Now, they're still going to do well.
Sure.
Women's basketball
still
awesome.
They won't do those ratings, though.
No, but if Caitlin Clark gets to the finals and faces South Carolina undefeated, that's going to be another massive night. Another one.
By the way, on the Steve Clifford thing, I was waiting for this to drop. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, I know we're jumping around here. Among the league's assistant coaching candidates to be considered, you want to take a wild guess as to the first name on that list?
Does it rhyme with 40 Hernandez?
As a matter of fact, Jason, it does. It doesn't even rhyme with it. That's actually who it is, 40 Hernandez.
Oh, good. Well, he can take it.
He
Jordy can
take
can stay.
It. Jordy can stay. Yeah. Miami's Chris Quinn. Phoenix's Kevin Young. Boston's Charles Lee. And Sacramento's Jordy.
I mean, honestly, Jordy, don't. Like, look at the options. Who did he interview with last year? Phoenix? Like, he'll have better options. I mean, look, you got to do what you got to do. What's best for you, but
I said this
I don't think that's a good job.
I said this was I said this last year, and I was wrong, and I was so happy to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong again, but good luck.
Something else better will be open.
Jordy's got at some. I don't want to lose Jordy. I hope he stays. I'll mow his lawn, but at some point, it's
he's
like,
gone.
Dude, they're only going to pull the chair out so many times. You got to do what's
especially
best for you.
If that's what
family.
He wants to be. If he wants to be, go for it.
Right.
And what I appreciate about Mike Brown, amongst many things, he's comfortable enough to let that shine go to those other guys and have opportunities because he's confident too that I'll bring in another person. I'll elevate someone else. We'll still have a good coaching staff. By the way, congratulations to Lindsey Harding.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Coach of the Year. That was awesome.
Hold on.
Great ovation.
But here's my question about that, and I'm not trying to crap on the parade or anything. I just have one question. Hold on a second.
Here comes the crap.
I've been told that women can't coach men's basketball.
I was told that. By whom?
A lot of people.
Social media?
A lot of the people.
A lot of men?
A lot of the people say they won't respond. It's just not going to work. Yeah, guys can coach women's basketball because they don't care. Men aren't going to listen to women. I mean, at this point, it's kind of weird, like between the Lindsey Hardings and the Becky Hammonds, and I know Dawn Staley's very comfortable where she's at, and the 90 other qualified candidates. It's like, we've got to have a women's head coach in the NBA here.
Oh, it's coming.
Like, so now. Yeah. Like,
I would have thought it would have already happened.
Same here. But at this point, it's like, dude, come on. Like,
it'll happen.
I thought it was going to be Becky Hammon in San Antonio. I thought she was going to take over for Pop. That surprised me when that didn't happen. It's got to happen, man. Yeah. Coach of the Year. Those are professionals.
Right.
Those are men who are pros, many of which have played or will play in the NBA. Coach of the Year. Should not matter the gender. Who cares? I don't care if it's a man, a woman, a froggy, a doggy. If you can coach, you can coach.
Coach Frog.
Coach Frog. Congratulations. And Lindsay's such a great person, too. And congratulations not just to Lindsay, but also the team, the franchise itself, everyone involved in that, the people that hired her, the people that supported her, everybody. Team effort.
Stockton Kings and the Warriors in the playoffs. Kings and Warriors again in the playoffs.
Let's go.
Tomorrow.
So now, hold on. So now we have Coach of the Year, Executive of the Year, G League Coach of the Year, soon to be Sixth Man of the Year. Just...
All NBA last year.
Vivek's all busy trying to get baseball. Vivek needs to build a bigger trophy case.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right. We will take a break when we come back. Hey, how about Katie Christensen?
Hey, we know her.
We know her. She knows Lindsay a little bit. We'll talk to her about that real quick. And then this road trip, last night's game, and so much more. Look, these guys are opening up against the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? They lost to the Knicks in the last month at home. There's going to be another knockout, drag-out game. Jason, you're going to need energy for 48 minutes.
Maybe more.
Yeah, if it goes to overtime, my goodness gracious, that's exactly right. What better way to do that than to switch to electric with my good friends over at American Energy, who are inviting you to do so. Right, meow. Make the switch to electric this spring. Save big with American Energy. Stay ahead of those spiking energy bills this summer. We'll up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. American Energy is providing huge rebates up to $9,000 from SMUD, and they will do all the paperwork. You don't have to worry about a thing. They do this all the time. They know how to do it. They'll attach all the coupon codes, the barcodes, and whatever they need. They'll install one of many that you choose incredibly efficient AC options that are available to you right now. Get rid of those fluctuating gas bills in the winter. Switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let American Energy perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis. See where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. In business since 1981. A+, Better Business Bureau. They're good people. I know these people. They're good people. Trust me. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990 or American Energy. AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. Get comfortable. Katie, she's going to join us next.